Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the program here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign Guy and QT with you as always. Real quick before we jump into things with our guest, if you're looking for some wrestling today, up here in our neck of the woods, you have choices. In Everett, Washington today, you have WAC. In Salem, Oregon, you have WCWC, featuring the return of Darren Corbin. And you also have in Portland, Oregon, Blue Collar Wrestling like every Sunday. You can find me at CCW later this evening. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest today. He is Mr. Five Star, Gary Gandy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, since today is your first time with us, we will start you out with our traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
You know, honestly, I was a fan at first, you know, like a lot of us, you know, from a child moving on from teenagers, definitely during the Attitude Era, really drive me to want to, you know, dive headfirst into, you know, this crazy business as professional wrestling. So, you know, it was just being a fan at first, and, you know, I got hooked just like, you know, all of us do in this wonderful world of wrestling. So, you know, that was my big start, you know, definitely just sitting around with family watching, you know, whatever wrestling it was, you know. That's the main, like, dive-in point for me.
Getting into wrestling, had you had any type of background that was going to prepare you for the training? Did you have an athletic background or a background in drama or production or anything like that?
No, honestly, it was, you know, no sports, no drama, no theater or any of that kind of stuff. It was, you know, I was just a, you know, 16-year-old kid that just loved wrestling and, you know, I just thought, like, you know what, it's now or never. you know, and let's see what this is all about. Because, you know, I would do weightlifting here and there, but I was never, like, super passionate about it, you know, about doing the whole working out thing. So, you know, I just showed up to a school one day. I was like, I'm here to try this thing out. And the pretty much the rest is history, but a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. But
now, professional wrestling, of course, is a very different animal than most entertainment. In the realm of entertainment, it's live as it happens. It's very physical. Lots of things can happen in professional wrestling that aren't planned. And one of those, of course, is the occasional injury here and there. Everybody gets them if they spent any time in the ring. What's been some of the injuries that you've had to overcome so far in your career?
I haven't had anything too serious. You know, I'm as careful as I can be. You know, we want to protect ourselves and who we're in the ring with, you know, most of the time. So, you know, I haven't had anything, you know, other than like a separation and, you know, a twisted ankle, things like that. I'm very fortunate to not have anything too serious. So, you know, I've had like tons of friends that have had torn ACLs, MCLs, that kind of injuries, so I know, like, you know, what the rehab and what's the amount of work you have to put in to make a comeback like that. So from my perspective, I haven't had anything too serious other than a broken nose, which, you know, that's more your vision's pretty much shot, and you just gotta work through it and kind of, like, you know, communicate with the guy you're in the ring with and let him know what's going on, things like that.
One of the things that has become sort of trendy in professional wrestling in the last few years is the Lucha Libre style. It's different than pretty much any other style of wrestling you can think of, and seems to be gaining a lot of traction with American fans. You see Lucha promotions going to Europe and doing well there. What do you think of the Lucha Libre style, and do you see a lot of it on shows where you're wrestling?
In the areas that I wrestle, it's hit or miss, just because, you know, a lot of people are not, like, trained in that style in my areas. So, you know, I see it, but it's more of, like, spot Lucha than it is actually, like, you know, like a whole match based on that style. I'm a fan of it. I think it has its place in wrestling. It's not like going to like just go out there and like kill the business or anything like that. I just find it be very entertaining. It's something different. And that's one word that I've always been told by anybody that I've been in a ring with or around. They said, you want to be as different as anybody else, and that right now, like how much traction it's getting in the States, it's due to the fact that it's different than, you know, your old school technical stuff and then your, you know, flipping and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's definitely getting some traction. I'm really looking forward to, like, kind of, you know, working with guys that work that style and, you know, being on more shows that we can bring that kind of, you know, atmosphere to new fans that might not know, like, about it.
A lot of the Lucha wrestlers have discovered that the mass great merchandise to sell at shows. Children usually love to buy the masks. They generally do well. You see a lot of merchandise, no matter what style of wrestling it is, T-shirts, photos, mugs, hats, all sorts of merchandise out there now for wrestlers to try to get more of a financial benefit from wrestling. What's some of the more interesting pieces of merchandise that you've seen people take to the merchandise tables?
I've seen like dragon based like merch. A lot of, you know, most lucha style is masks and, like, stickers and kind of, like, graphics. So I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff. I haven't seen, like, a whole, like, a build. Like, some of the lucha stars actually selling, like, old masks that they've worn, like, you know, from Mexico to Europe and things like that. So I haven't really ran across anything too wild or too crazy as far as that lucha style.
Now, one of the things about professional wrestling is it can be held pretty much anywhere that you can fit a ring. There's all manners of different venues, from high school gymnasiums to VFW halls to large convention centers to sometimes outside of parks or parking lots. What would you say to date has been the oddest venue where you've wrestled?
It was actually at a fairground, and it wasn't even like a building. It was like a sheep barn that had like porta potties like around to block people from like gaining visual access to it. So that was one of the oddest, you know, venues, so to speak, that I've been a part of. So it was more like you kind of felt like you were actually wrestling for like the actual porta potties and actual people.
Now, in wrestling, a lot of people use athletic tape, especially wrists and sometimes the fist as well. I've noticed in my travels a lot of wrestlers have very specific rituals that they do with tape, be it applying it the exact same way every time, writing something on the tape, the collar of the tape. Some people are very, very adamant that whatever they do as far as the tape goes has to be the exact same every time, or they don't feel safe going to the ring if they feel like it's going to bring them bad luck. Do you yourself have a tape ritual and or know a lot of people that do have the tape rituals?
I don't have one per se, just because, you know, I'm not real big on the superstitions of if you don't tape it this way every time, something bad's going to happen to you, or if you don't, you know, do this every time. So I don't have, like, a ritual as far as taping goes. It's pretty much, you know, if I tape it the same way every time, I do. If not, no big deal. I've seen guys easy do the whole write my mom and my dad on there. Just someone's name that actually influenced them the most, kind of just give them that extra motivation. But I personally don't have like a ritual that I do before a match or any of that kind of stuff.
Some wrestlers have a specific hold that they use that they consider their favorite hold. It doesn't necessarily mean it's their normal finishing hold or a hold that is like something that sets up a pinfall or a submission or anything like that, but it's just one that they like to apply to their opponents. Do you have that favorite hold that you have in your arsenal?
Honestly, no, because I'm constantly, like, wanting to evolve and be different and change every match to be different. So, like, as a scouting tool, when people watch me on tape, we can go, man, there's, like, so much I have to, like, scout to kind of, like, see what he does, when he does, and how he does it. So I don't really have, like, a hold, so to speak. Like, you know, I'm more technical, more, you know, hold base, but it just depends on who I'm wrestling and, you know, the style of match that I'm wanting to perform that night. So, like, just like it could be different from a top wrist lock to a hammer lock. So I don't really have a hold per se, because there's just so much. I've really been trying to adapt more of a European style with holds and strikes. So maybe 6 months down the road, I might have something that, you know, my favorite. But as of right now, I don't have one per se.
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by. I know that he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to
him. Sign guy, I request 2 more minutes so I can pull off on I-5. I'm about a mile from the turnoff. Yes.
All right. No problem. All right.
Oh, okay.
Well, Mr. Five Star, one of the things that has been kind of notorious in professional wrestling for several decades now is the use of steroids in wrestling. It was a huge source of controversy in the late 80s and early 90s. It shifted from wrestling to baseball towards the end of the 90s, but it's always sort of been there as far as wrestling goes. In your career, just based on things you've seen or heard, do you think that, by and large, the steroid problem in wrestling has been defeated, or do you think it's still an issue in this industry?
Not as much anymore. Like, honestly, nowadays, you really don't hear about it as much. Not saying that it's not a thing. You know, there are, like, people go, oh, that guy has to be on steroids. Look at his physique. Look how, like, great in shape he is. You know, like, in my opinion, like, just in independent wrestling, it could be out there, but we don't know because, you know, we don't have, you know, a drug testing policy, things like that. But as far as in, you know, WWE Impact, Ring of Honor, things like that, that they have, like, things in place, you know, that prevents that from being around their product. So I think that kind of scares, you know, us as independent wrestlers, like, man, if I get that opportunity, I don't want to, like, pop for something. So most of the time, you guys be careful what you put in your body, things like that. So I don't think it's that big of an issue anymore. I'm not saying that it's not out there, not saying that it couldn't be an issue again. It's just a matter of, like, as of right now, I don't think it's, like, a major problem that we have in our industry.
Now, at the same time, do you think wrestlers, by and large, are more conscious about their personal health than they had been in years past? I know, say, 25, 30 years ago, you had wrestlers that maybe didn't have the longest careers because they would take a lot of chances with their bodies, be it substances, be it just the style they implemented. They didn't necessarily stop because of injuries. They would wrestle despite the injuries a lot more frequently. Do you think that today's wrestlers are more inclined to worry about their health first?
I think, like, just wrestling has evolved into not, I wouldn't say so much more of a safe atmosphere. A lot of people are a lot more cautious on what they do, because not every night you don't have to go out there and, you know, do some crazy acrobatic stuff. You know, a lot of times you can go out there, have a real solid, you know, match, execute everything really well and don't have to worry about injury. But, you know, guys that are working, you know, 300 nights a year, you know, they're like, man, like, if I don't put myself on, you know, a well-placed diet, or if I don't portion myself right, if I don't give myself time to heal, things like that, then I think that could be more of an issue. But I think we're more inclined to, you know, understand what our body can do and how we can reserve that energy, instead of just going out there and trying to, you know, work through, like, all my arm or my shoulder's kind of messed up. Let me just work through it. I think we like to think that, you know, I'm not going to, like, push the issue because I don't want to hurt that guy. I don't want to further hurt myself. So I think, yes, we do put our kind of our safety and our well-being before, you know, a payday or another opportunity or a bigger opportunity, things like that. Because, you know, we all have goals. We all have, like, you know, where we want to go. Like, you know, traveling is, you know, an amazing thing. You meet great people. You know, you meet great fans, things like that. So we're constantly want to, you know, evolve and change and, like, let someone come to a show and have a great time. So we want to kind of, like, if I'm hurt, I can't entertain somebody. So I do think we do put our well-being before everything now compared to the 80s and 90s. You know, that's the only thing they could do is wrestle. So.
All right. QT, are you pulled over on I-5?
Yes, and for the record, for the Turnbuckle Turmoil record, I would like to notify our fans that I have pulled off at mile marker 74 going south.
Well, I'm okay. Right here. You're safe and sound. You're safe and sound.
Yes, it seems to be a wide shoulder. Yes. Well, Gary, you mentioned earlier to Sign Guy that you were a fan of the Attitude Era. Did that include William Regal, who was from the Rough Street of Blackpool, England?
Yes, it did. I'm actually a really big William Regal fan.
Oh, okay. Well, can
yeah.
you tell us who your next five favorite, besides Steven Regal, who your next five favorite wrestlers were of the Attitude Era?
Rock, Steve Austin, that's name a couple. Triple H really, you know, even the whole DX thing, like, you know, we're all kids, you know. I really wasn't a big Shawn fan, but, you know, Rock, Austin, Triple H, and then just the evolution of The Undertaker coming through the Attitude Era was like, you know, you kind of knew they had something with him. And the longevity of that, you know, that character, that gimmick, to kind of, like, see where they were going with it. And, you know, then I didn't know, you know, as much as I know now, I didn't know then. So, you know, those were just a core group of guys that was every single week I watched. I was just so entertained and so, like, you know what, this is something I can do, man. I can be the next, you know, Steve Austin. I can be the next, you know, Regal or vice versa. I just wanted to, you know, I can do that. This is something cool that I would love to do one day.
At any time, did you yourself practice in the mirror the people's eyebrows? Did you try that?
I did, and it failed very, very miserably because I can barely wink one eye. So, like, that is not something that my face really does. So, you know, it was more of like I tried it and then I would use my finger to push it up. And then it's like I almost got it, but I didn't have it. I just didn't have, you know, the Rock's, you know, charisma, I think.
Oh. All right. Now, prior to the Attitude Era, who were some of your favorite wrestlers? Would one of them be King Kong Bundy? Who some people say skirted the edge of the Attitude Era, King Kong Bundy.
I wasn't like a big fan of him, but I respected like the value of work that he put out. You know, I thought that they had more with him than they did. I just he didn't like he was a larger than life athlete, so just that standing out, I'm like, man, that guy's a monster. But he really didn't, to me, didn't stand out to me other than his physical presence. Because Attitude Era, I was a fan of the small wrestlers, so like the Bretts and the Owens. I'm like, oh, I'll give the small guy a chance kind of thing. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, were you a big fan of Eric Young or Jimmy Wang Yang?
Jimmy Wang, yes, I actually was, because, you know, I really like how he took an opportunity, you know, even with, you know, the Asian redneck, so to speak, gimmick, and it was very entertaining to me. Like, he, like, that's the craziest thing about wrestling is, like, it's an entertainment, and it's, as long as you're entertained, that's the way I feel like that's a success. You know, and he did that for me. I laughed, you know, from him eating barbecue chicken wings to, you know, just his ability in the ring didn't match. I'm like, wow, man, really didn't think that, you know, someone who likes chicken wings that much could do some of the, you know, the moves that he did. So for him to, you know, the way he performed in the ring is, you know, something I always, you know, kind of like, implemented, like, man, I can do that. That's something really cool.
Well, I remember when Jimmy Yang, Wang Yang, was wrestling young Masters during the first year that he broke in, and poor Jimmy Wang got a lot of the worst of it. Were you a big fan of Chris Masters and the Master Lock?
I actually wasn't, because I kind of, like, wasn't sure, like, what to think of Chris Masters, because he had that, you know, overbearing physique, and I was all like, man, if I could look like that, I would already, you know, be there, kind of, and I was like, man, like, I just don't like the guy, he's rubbing me the wrong way, kind of like, you know, I didn't like the bad guys, and he was like, look at me, you can't break my, you know, Master Lock. And I would go to events and I'd go, well, pick me, I can break it, I'm sure I can. Even though deep down inside I knew I couldn't. It was just the opportunity to try to. So I just wasn't a fan of the character. I just not sure what they were trying to do or what he was trying to portray, so to speak. So I just wasn't a fan of it. It was just, you know, sometimes we're like that. We just don't like something and you can't steer us the wrong way. The other way, I mean, to like something.
Yes, at one point, the Master Lock Challenge was up to $10,000, and I think the night he issued the $10,000, or up to that amount, he issued a challenge to Val Venus, another favorite wrestler of mine. What did you think of Val Venus and his connection with the ladies?
He had a connection that I didn't have. So the fact that, yeah, I might be married, but it was just one lady. That was it. And that was a lucky one. But, yeah, I just didn't have that, you know, connection with him. Maybe I just didn't have that, you know, the Val Venus-esque kind of talking ability. You know, I feel like I'm a better talker now than I was then, but I really, like, enjoyed, like, what he brought to that character. Like, it was something that, you know, one, the Attitude Era didn't have. It didn't have the whole, you know, ladies. Kind of, when he came out in the towel, the ladies were like, oh, my God, give me the towel. And they just loved that. They fed off of it. And it was just something different, and it was just amazing to me. I really enjoyed it. And I was always a fan of his, like everything he's done. A really big fan.
Wow, okay. All right. What grade were you when the Master Lock Challenge came out? Because I heard a lot of the big school and junior high kids suddenly started doing the Master Lock Challenge. What grade were you in?
I think I was in high school, so I would say like ninth grade, I would think. It was around the same time that, you know, I met my wife and I was trying to get her involved in wrestling. I was like, hey, this is some cool stuff. You need to watch it, because she never watched it before. So, I mean, now she's hooked. So I guess mission accomplished, so to speak. And I think that might have been like one of the first actual like things like on WWE television that she got to watch was that. And that's something that, like, you know, it's like, wow, that's really cool. And I didn't even know that, like, college kids were actually trying to do the Master Lock Challenge. That's actually, I learned something today.
Okay, now, has your wife followed you into some aspects of wrestling? Has she ever thought about trying out for ring announcer or referee, your wife?
Not really. She has done some training here and there, but she has, like, a dance background, so it's really, you know, I always find it's a little bit more easy to understand the feet work that involve wrestling, and so she gets that aspect, but she's kind of like, oh, I want to do it, but, you know, it's a fear of getting hurt, you know, and she does really well. We try to train with each other as much as we can, and she does, like, a lot of promoting and things like that, and help with promotions that I work for. So she's involved in the business, just not as much physicality as I like to be.
Now, if your wife did get into wrestling, would she be a natural baby face or heel, or maybe a tweener?
She would totally be a heel, because there's no doubt about that one. Yeah, she would totally be a heel. There's nothing about her that says I can like that person. Not saying she's not a nice lady, because I like her. She just has that gritty personality that, like, oh man, I just want to choke her sometimes. So yeah, and my daughter gets that from her too. So
now, if your wife could time travel, would she be a natural fit in D-Generation X? A natural fit.
I would say yes, because she does do a lot of pranks, and she is a prankster, so yeah, she absolutely would be a perfect fit for DX.
Yeah.
And I would be kind of jealous, because I would, you know, not fit in with them, because I try to be serious, but I joke around a lot too, so I think I would fit in, but I would kind of be jealous if she fit in more than I would.
Oh, okay. All right. What was the name of your high school, and did word get around quick among your classmates that you were trying out for wrestling at that tender age of 16?
So it was actually, like, most of my friends were, like, we would always talk about it, like, you know, like, man, I want to be a pro wrestler, I want to do it, and then I came to school one day, and I was like, hey, guys, guess what I'm doing tonight? I'm going to this wrestling school, it's going to be so great, I'm going to be so good, and more did I know how hard it is. So I was so excited to tell everybody, so I told everyone, and then that night I went to the tryout to do this crazy wrestling thing, and none of my friends were with me. I'm like, oh, they said they were going to be here, but I guess not. So I did it by myself, you know, and I just went for it. I dived in, like, there was a swimming pool with nice cold water, and, you know, they were kind of jealous, and they're like, oh, man, I should have done it, and this and that, and then most of them are doing their own thing now. So now there's a lot of jealousy, I think, but it wasn't more like, he's doing it and I'm not. It's more like, man, I should have done it. Cause there's always been, like, the group of our friends when we were growing up, you know, we watched wrestling together, and then we would try it here and there. And then one of my best friends actually ended up being a rap artist. Me and him used to wrestle in gym class together. And then we got suspended from school a couple of times, and then we figured out, like, maybe we shouldn't do this at school. So, you know, it's kind of it culminated from that to everything else, and everyone's super supportive. You know, definitely my friends.
Well, now, what rap artist name did he take or have a moniker? What's his rap name?
He calls himself Zachariah Kane.
Oh.
So he. Oh. Okay. Yeah. So I think he kind of ushered that Kane word from wrestling. I think so. He probably would tell me a different story, but so yeah, he's still a big fan of wrestling. He supports me a lot, and I support him as much as I can. So yeah, that still friends today. He's you know, pretty much killing it, and I'm trying to make as much headways in this world of professional wrestling as this world will let me, and there's more to come, I'm sure.
Now, when you broke into wrestling at that tender age of 16, was this before cell phones?
I think cell phones were a thing. It was just I wasn't understanding of cell phones, because, my parents weren't, the best, we didn't have the best finances, as a a kid, so I think that kind of like helped me build some character a little bit. Cell phones and the internet wasn't really a big thing. The internet was there, but it was more like if you wanted to see a result, you had to go to the library and pay 10 cents to use a computer kind of thing. Cell phones were a thing, but it wasn't as, popular as it is today.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to guess it took about a week for word to get around the whole school that you were trying out for wrestling before everyone knew, including your shopkeeper.
My teachers really didn't know because the teachers didn't really know what the kids and myself were talking about. They're like, we like wrestling, what's that? Like, we have a wrestling team here. And they're like, no, not that wrestling, this wrestling. And then me and all my friends showed the teacher, and she's like, well, you need to go to the office because that's too violent. And that was in the mix of the attitude error. So, as we all know, when I first, started that whole thing, and then the teachers found out I was actually training to do it, and they were questioning it, but they weren't going to stop me from doing something just because, they just wanted you to be active and, not want you to get into, drugs and alcohol and things like that.
Well, now, due to your wrestling, do you believe that this would raise some eyebrow among the women in your school or the young ladies? Did this lead to a prom date among the ladies? Were they impressed enough about your wrestling that they asked you to do a prom? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, not at all, because I was actually dating my wife at the time of me starting wrestling. So I think if any other ladies were trying to ask me to anything, she would probably definitely have a problem with that. So.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a feisty one, and that what makes it so much better just to have someone there that can support you along the way.
Wow, okay, all right. Mr. Gandy, I was at an event last night with some guy in Vaughan, Washington, called Northwest Pro Wrestling, and once again, a wrestler named Mikey the Mustache Selleck he claims that he has the greatest mustache in professional wrestling. Now, most of the fans don't like him, but I do. My question is, you yourself seem to have a well-kept beard and mustache. Would it be possible for you to befriend Mikey the Mustache Selleck on Facebook, and once you're acquainted, perhaps you could come out here to the Northwest, to Northwest Pro Wrestling, and some guy and myself could hold a contest between you two of who has the best mustache and beard.
You know what? I've never been in a mustache or beard contest before, so it would be the first of many first things. So I would not be opposed to it at all. I would totally do it.
Wow. Oh, okay. This is fine. Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Gandy, can you tell us about this upcoming Friday's match for AIWF head of the class. Will you be wrestling a wrestler called Novocaine?
Yes, I will be.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, Gary, the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2012 was held on March 31st, 2012, in Miami, Florida, at the American Airlines Arena. Mil Mascaris was inducted by Alberto Del Rio, and Mil Mascaris was the first mass wrestler to perform in Madison Square Garden. Yokozuna was inducted by his nephews, Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso. The Four Horsemen were inducted by Dusty Rhodes. Although there were quite a few members of the Four Horsemen, the ones inducted that night in 2012 were Ric Flair, Beth Windham, Arn Anderson, and Tully Blanchard, and James J. Dillon. Mike Tyson was inducted by D-Generation X members Shawn Michaels and Triple H. The final inductee was Edge, who was inducted by his childhood friend Christian. The two shared stories of coming up through the Canadian wrestling system and their time together in the WWE. And Ron Simmons was inducted by John Bradshaw Layfield. Now, you fast forward a year later, and this was a class of 2013, and Mick Foley was inducted by Terry Funk. Now, Foley lamented during his speech that he never beat Chris Jericho. Jericho ran up on stage and told Foley to pin him, and CM Punk counted the 1-2-3. Bob Backlund was inducted by Maria Menounos. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that long. The lady of who won Diva of the Decade during the Raw 10th anniversary show, Trish Stratus, was inducted by Stephanie McMahon. Bruno Sammartino was inducted by Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Booker T, the six-time WCW World Television Champ and also legendary 7-Eleven adventurer with Goldust, was inducted by Stevie Ray. And Donald Trump was inducted by Vince McMahon. Now, given the choice, if you could time travel, which class would you choose, the class of 2012 or the class of 2013?
Probably 2013, because the superstars like in that class were, you know, had a lot to do with, you know, just the evolution of wrestling. Definitely Bruno's, you know, one of the all time greats. You know, just his name alone would set any class apart from any other. Even though Ric Flair, you know, he's done so much in the business, but Bruno set a bar, you know, for wrestling. So that 2013 would definitely be the, you know, the class I would time jump to, you know, just to be there and just to see all of that accumulate would be amazing.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, Brickhead, it would be a little bit tough to beat the Four Horsemen being inducted, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Booker T being inducted in that latter class, that's huge also. I can see your point there. And the future president of the United States, you know, Donald Trump, that's also huge. Okay. All right, very good. All right. Well, okay, Gary. Jerry Lawler was quoted as saying, "The only reason Jake the Snake Roberts doesn't drink and drive anymore is because he is afraid he might hit a bump and spill his drink."
Which is funny. I wouldn't either.
My question is, have you yourself ever hit a speed bump while you were on the road and spilled a non-alcoholic drink in your lap, perhaps hot coffee?
The only thing I've ever done is dump the whole entire energy drink down my pants as we were driving, because I was going from one show to the other, and I had my gear still on, and it went, the whole energy drink dumped on my tights and down my pants, and it was the most uncomfortable ride, and I was like, well, I guess I'll just let it dry and wrestle. Anyway, so it was a very mess, so to speak, spilling an energy drink, you know, doing two shows in one day. That in a nutshell is nerve-wracking, but adding full ice cold energy drink all over yourself is very uncomfortable.
Wow, yeah, I could see that. All right. Well, Mr. Five Star, Val Venus once said, this leg will be known as Christmas, and this leg will be known as New Year's. Ladies, why don't you come visit the big Balboski between the holidays? My question is, do you believe you have legs as big as Val Venus had about 10 years ago?
No, because 10 years ago I was about 8 inches shorter and I weighed like 150 pounds less. So I would say I was a lot smaller than I am now.
Wow, all right. Okay. And another saying, Jerry Lawler once said, you never really know a woman till you meet her in court. My question is, how do you think Jerry the King Lawler would have done on People's Court or Judge Judy?
I don't think he would have fared too well. I don't think he would have fared too well, because, you know, both of those are some, you know, feisty hosts.
Wow, okay, all right. Yeah, Judge Judy seems pretty feisty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely more aggressive than he could have handled.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, it's famous sayings continued. Muhammad Ali once said, to be a great champion, you must believe you are the best. If you're not prepared, pretend you are. My question is, do you like the song I'm the Great Pretender by the Platters? That's what I'm asking.
Do I like that song? No, I do not. I'm more of a country rock and roll kind of, but it's more new rock than old rock. So I'm more of that, you know, bluegrass mixed with the new country kind of stuff. So I'm not a big fan of that kind of music. So, but to Muhammad Ali's statement, it's completely true. If you don't believe you're something, then you're not going to portray that.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, speaking of bluegrass, we have a wrestler out here called Paul Moonshine, who's from the hills of Appalachia. And he sometimes always brings moonshine jug to the ring. And when one of his protégés or wrestler gets in trouble, they seem to from this moonshine jug. And for the life of me, I don't know why the contents of this moonshine jug has never been tested. Do you yourself have anyone from the hills of Appalachia wrestling in your league?
No, because everyone in this area wants to be the powerhouse, you know, aggressive, technical, punching teeth out kind of people. So we don't have anything like that. We do have fun loving hillbillies, but we don't have anything like that. But they drink moonshine, but I think they do that on their own time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, being a fan of bluegrass, I'm sure that you're a pretty big fan of Bill Monroe. Have you ever considered using Blue Moon of Kentucky as your entrance music? Have you ever considered that?
No, I haven't, because I like something that's kind of fast, hard-hitting that would get my adrenaline pumping. And I feel like bluegrass kind of, like, mellows me down and kind of gets, like, when I'm having a bad day, I put it on and I feel, you know, a lot better about myself. So I want something, like, you know, kind of heavy that's going to really get me going. And that's why I've chosen, you know, more of something that means something to me. Like when I hear that song, I go, you know, that's me, because I feel that way.
Well, Steve Martin, the comedian, is a pretty accomplished banjo player, and he plays in some bluegrass bands. I think it's pretty safe to say that you will not hire Steve Martin for a personal performance of any of your entrance music. Is that safe to say?
Can I say that one more time?
Steve Martin is an accomplished bluegrass banjo player and has played in several bluegrass bands. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that you wouldn't pay out of your pocket to have a personal appearance by Steve Martin to perform your entrance music.
You know, I would do that, honestly. I've always thought about having someone, you know, personally play me to the ring. That's actually something on my bucket list.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's all right. Well, it's been good talking with you, and I hope you can make it out this way so we can inform Mikey the Silic Mustache, the Mustache Silic, that you will that you're up for a contest, best mustache and beard. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll totally do that. Sounds like an amazing time. It'll be a great trip.
All right. This is QT Volk reporting from Exit 74. Back to you, Sound Guy. Yep.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Five Star, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you wish, merchandise, upcoming appearances, social medias, your favorite seafood restaurant, floor is all yours.
All right, so they can catch me on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Gary Gandy on Facebook, The Real Gary Gandy on Twitter, and The Real Gary Gandy on Instagram as well. I do have a new shirt that's coming out this week, so they can catch all the pre-orders on that. The art for it's out there. We have a show this coming Friday for AIWF First Class. A lot of other stuff coming up for me this year and later this year. A lot of great opportunities. June 29th, I'll be defending my Route 33 Heavyweight Championship against the heir apparent Chris LaRusso in Spencer, West Virginia. That's a really big event coming up, so you can find all that information on my Facebook, and they have a Facebook as well, Route 33 Wrestling, and they're on all three forms of social media as well. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing some fans out there, meeting some new people, working with some new wrestlers. It's going to be a really rock solid 2019.
All right. Sounds like a very solid plan. And being an AIWF affiliate here in our neck of the woods in Portland, hopefully our paths will cross at some point in a locker room somewhere around the country. And I want to wish you continued success. Fans, definitely get out there, support Mr. Five Star Gary Gandy and what he does. We will be back with you next week. Speaking of the AIWF, Friday we are joined by the AIWF America champion, Bad Blood. And then 1 week from today, we'll be back with you with the return of John Bullard. Been a while since we had him on the show. But get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks for having me.